past deeds. Text 2. The great sage Shukdev Goswami said, "My dear king, in this material world, there are three kinds of activities. Those in the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. Because all people are influenced by the three modes of material nature, the results of their activities are also divided into three. One who acts in the mode of goodness is religious and happy. One who acts in passion achieves mixed misery and happiness. And one who acts under the influence of ignorance is always unhappy and lives like an animal. Because of the varying degrees to which the living entities are influenced by the different modes of nature, their destinations are also of different varieties." Text 3. Just as by executing various pious activities, one achieves different positions in heavenly life, by acting impiously, one achieves different positions in hellish life. Those who are activated by the material mode of ignorance engage in impious activities, and according to the extent of their ignorance, they are placed in different grades of hellish life. If one acts in the mode of ignorance because of madness, his resulting misery is the least severe. One who acts impiously but knows the distinction between pious and impious activities is placed in a hell of intermediate severity. And for one who acts impiously and ignorantly because of atheism, the resultant hellish life is the worst. Because of ignorance, every living entity has been carried by various desires into thousands of different hellish planets since time immemorial. I shall try to describe them as far as possible. Text 4. King Parikshit inquired from Shukdev Goswami, "My dear Lord, are the hellish regions outside the universe, within the covering of the universe, or in different places on this planet?" Text 5. Rishir Uvacha, the great sage Shukdev Goswami answered, "All the hellish planets are situated in the intermediate space between the three worlds and the Garbhodak ocean. They lie on the southern side of the universe beneath Bhumandal and slightly above the water of Garbhodak ocean. Pitralok is also located in this region between Garbhodak ocean and the lower planetary systems. All the residents of Pitraloka, headed by Agnishvata, meditate in great samadhi on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always wish their families well." As previously explained, below our planetary system are seven lower planetary systems, the lowest of which is called Patal Loka. Beneath Patal Loka are other planets known as Narakaloka, or the hellish planets. At the bottom of the universe lies the Garbhodak ocean. Therefore, the hellish planets lie between Patal Loka and the Garbhodak ocean. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे Hare Krishna. So we welcome everyone for today morning's Bhagavatam class in this beautiful setup. So Bhagavatam Canto 5 is about to close. We are at the final chapter, chapter 26, entitled The Hellish Planets. So Bhagavat, like any other Mahapuran, has especially it describes 10 main topics. And this canto is about Sthanam or situation. So we'll see how do we not just look at this universe geographically, but also in terms of the individual's response or individual's action. So here at the start of this chapter, Parikshit Maharaj wants to know why people are put into different conditions of life. Why is somebody in heaven, somebody in Bhumandal, and somebody in hell? Why is there so much variety? What is causing all of this? So as if we start to study from the start, we know the creation of the universe when the universe is manifest from the pores of the body of Mahavishnu. So each Brahmanda is having 14 planetary systems, and in the middle is Bhumandal, and at the bottom of each Brahmanda is the Garbhodak ocean. So that is called the primary creation, which is done by Lord Himself. Then Lord brings in or collaborates with Brahmaji. Brahmaji is called the secondary creator. What is his responsibility? Brahmaji's responsibility is to populate the universe which has been created. How does Brahmaji populate it? According to the karma of each jiva. So depending on what karma each jiva has earned, they will either be put into a favorable or an unfavorable situation. So that it's like you can think of it as a city housing scheme. Somebody who has more wealth, they can afford a palatial bungalow. That is equivalent to our karma. And somebody who doesn't have much, they have to make do with shared accommodation on rent. So that is the whole fashion in which the universe is structured. So everyone ultimately gets what they deserve. That is exactly what Parikshit Maharaj wants to know. How is it happening? How does everyone get the situation they are in? So Shukdev Goswami starts to explain that everyone is getting the situation that they deserve. And here the third role is played by Yamraj. So it is also Yamraj ji's duty to see that everyone gets the position where they deserve to be, especially in terms of the hellish planets. So here we are going to discuss some primary concepts. How does nature act? How do we end up in different circumstances? What is karma if we have to understand simply? Karma in one word is responsibility. Responsibility of our previous choices. So every choice leads to certain consequence, and owning the responsibility of our choices is called karma. Therefore, the atheistic mindset doesn't like to believe in karma. Why? Because you want to live an irresponsible life. Why do you want to make me accountable? But Prabhupada says, even if you live in a country, you have to follow the laws of the state. You cannot escape that. And what to speak of the laws of nature, which are even more stronger and more subtle? There is no scope of any living entity escaping the laws of Prakriti. Prakriti through the three gunas. What is Prakriti? Prakriti is essentially comprised of the three gunas. And as we understand from the Bhagavad Gita, the three modes predominate over the jiva in conditioned state. So either sattva, rajas or tamas, they are in constant competition with each other to predominate the jiva. And what is the jiva? And ultimately, a jiva ends up being a puppet in the hands of Prakriti. You've seen that beautiful picture in the Bhagavad Gita as it is, where the puppets, where the three modes are having strings, and then people are working through that string. And who is above the three modes? Who is the controller of Prakriti? Krishna. So first thing we have to understand is that Krishna has made rules for the living entities. Do we like rules? Generally not. So why did Krishna make rules? From more you have, the more you are considered to be responsible. The more you are given, the more you are accountable. So what's special about us as humans? What is special about us as humans is that we are conscious beyond ourselves. This facility is not available to animals. When an animal kills another animal, it is not able to feel the pain of the other animal. For the purpose of their survival, they are just fulfilling their sensual and emotional desires. An animal cannot feel for another animal. So therefore, they do not get any fruits of their karma. They are simply expending the previous karma. So we as humans are special because we have the ability to be conscious beyond ourselves. We know of the pain that someone else is going through. And therefore, there are rules set by Sri Krishna. So at different levels, devatas, do you think they have to follow rules? They earn their heavenly position because of their previous pious karma, right? Because they did some pious karma, the karma fall of that is a heavenly existence. So there, they are just again enjoying their punya. Somebody on a vacation with a good balance in a credit card, you can enjoy as soon as till the time your credit card balance lasts. But even there in Swarga, if they break the laws of the Lord, they will have to come down. So everyone above animals is subject to certain rules. And those are the rules of Krishna. And interestingly, Yamraj's judgment and punishment is only limited to who? Who is in the scope of Yamraj's judgment and punishment? All humans? Yeah, only humans in Bhumandal. But still, every human? You remember anything from Ajamil, 6th canto? Huh? Huh, correct. We're coming to that point. But even before that, what does Yamraj say? When the Yamadutas say that we could not capture this sinful person called Ajamil. So Yamraj says, somebody who does not atone their papa before they die, only they come to Yamraj's judgment. So only sinful human beings are taken to the court of Yamraj. Jisne paap kiya hai aur jo manushya hai. That is the requirement for meeting Yamraj. So all of these principles will try to put in hierarchy and categories. What does it mean? कोई यमराज के पास जा रहा है, कोई हेवनली प्लेजर्स एंजॉय कर रहा है, एंड एज लाइक प्रभु सेड, डिवोटीज आर लाइक बियॉन्ड ऑल ऑफ दिस. हाउ डज दिस वर्क? सो एज वी डिस्कस, देर हैज टू बी सम अथॉरिटी, देर हैज टू बी सम डिसिप्लिन. सो हु इज द सुप्रीम अथॉरिटी? श्री कृष्णा. एंड इफ वी एक्सेप्ट श्री कृष्णा एज द सुप्रीम अथॉरिटी, वी शुड ऑल्सो एक्सेप्ट कृष्णाज रिप्रेजेंटेटिव हु एग्जीक्यूट हिज विल. वॉट इज द डेफिनेशन ऑफ अ किंग? किंग मीन्स अ बोनाफाइड किंग और अ लीडर. दैट अ लीडर इज अ रिप्रेजेंटेशन ऑफ द गॉड्स विल. द रोल ऑफ द ड्यूटी ऑफ अ राजा वॉज टू एग्जीक्यूट द विल ऑफ कृष्णा, नॉट एनी इंडिपेंडेंट प्लान्स. So when the king is executing the will of Krishna, the will of the creator, then he is empowered and he is seen as a representative of the Lord. Just like somebody in a government service. Why do we give so much importance and so much facility to somebody holding a government position? Because they are furthering the will of the government. So when we align to divine will, we can be representatives and we can be empowered. So Raja should be seen in that way, that they are just executing the will of the Lord. They are representing Krishna's will in this earth. So they are, therefore, what are they called? Bhudeva. So we have to see kings, not just kings, everyone. Anyone who takes responsibility for any individual, family, community, or even the universe, which is Brahmaji, all of them are leaders. And all of these leaders have to understand that they have to follow the laws of Krishna. And what does it mean to follow the laws of Krishna? To take care of everyone and to give everyone the fruits of their actions as they deserve. This is the role of a leader. So, first, let's try to understand that why are we here in this material realm and not in the spiritual sky. We are here because we had a desire to enjoy independent of Krishna, separately from Krishna, bhinna drik. As soon as that separatism, that mentality of having independent existence and enjoyment arises, we are sent to this earthly realm. Okay, you want to be Ishwar, you have that Ishwari Bhav, go exercise it in this earthly realm. Because you can't do it in Vaikuntha, because there's only one Ishwara there. So what happens is, the very fact that we are at the Bhu or the earthly level is that we chose not to follow the rules of Krishna in his abode. Okay. So we didn't follow the spiritual rules of reciprocating Krishna in love. Therefore, what do we have to follow? Now we have to follow the law of karma. If we didn't follow the spiritual rules of personal reciprocation with Krishna, if you are not a devotee, if you don't follow the principles of bhakti, then you have to follow the principles of karma. That is how we should see it. And what is the law of karma? It is to help us realize that we are trying to enjoy. Everything we do in this world is based on the pleasure principle. The pleasure principle means I pursue pleasure and I avoid pain. Is it possible for everyone? Because everyone's interests, needs, and concerns are going to clash. So this leads to ahankar. We have to understand and accept that this world is a mixture of both pleasure and pain. Like the shloka said, those who act in the mode of passion, they experience mixed happiness and misery. Somebody, the purpose of this papa punya and papa phal and punya phal is to make us realize that after I'm frustrated with all of this papa punya cycle, I have to rise to the level of jnana. That time, the living entity will try to remove itself from this material realm. How did we land here? Because of a desire to separately enjoy. And how can we go back? By establishing that connection with Krishna again. So that is the whole journey of a living entity. We didn't follow spiritual rules in Goloka, therefore we have to follow karmic rules here. And if we get stuck in karmakanda, our samsara perpetuates. It is meant to take us to the realization that you are meant to seek liberation. And that is the way you can go back to an eternal state. So now if somebody wants to have sensual pleasure, do you think Krishna will allow it? We are here because we wanted to have bhoga and Ishwari bhava. So yes, Krishna allows it, but in a regulated way. We cannot expect to be independent completely here. Because we did not want to love and serve Krishna, therefore we have to follow these. If we have to follow Krishna's regulations. So if we are not worshipping Krishna directly, then we have to worship Krishna indirectly. How? Through the laws of karma. And then if we are more evolved, then through the processes of jnana and yoga. So a devotee, most important for a devotee is to see that all of this is coming from Krishna. The soul, these methods of karma, jnana, yoga, the samsara, the source and the cause of all of this is Krishna. So ultimately, I have to seek Krishna. This realization is the most important hallmark of a devotee. Otherwise, people who have not reached the devotional platform are not able to see this Krishna connection. Because we are not able to connect everything to Krishna, we stay trapped in this cycle of samsara. And if somebody doesn't want to worship Krishna directly in the spiritual realm or indirectly in the under the laws of karma, who are these people you think? Those who are even disobeying the laws of karma? They are the ones who are performing sinful activities. So if we don't even follow the law of karma, then we have to go to the court of Yamaraj. So this is the categorization. Either you directly have loving reciprocation and service with Krishna. If not, then you have to follow the laws of karma. And even if you break, and if you break even that, then you have to go to the court of Yamaraj because you sinned. So the idea of all of these rules is to make us Krishna conscious. At least to get us to the point of understanding that material nature is not worth our endeavor. Yehi samsparsha jabhoga. Dukkha yonayo evate adi anta vanta kauntayu na teshu ramate buddhaha. Because something that itself is limited and temporary, how can it give us pleasure which is lasting and infinite? It takes a while to come to this realization. But that is the purpose of the law of karma. That is the purpose of the punishment of Yamaraj. Yamaraj is not a sadist who is getting pleasure by putting us into different hells. The purpose is reformation. By reformation, some way we should realize it is not worth it. I should seek liberation. I should seek a higher goal. So, by reformation, it might take time for people to understand that pursuing fruitive work is not worth it. At least they will come to the point of piety. Chalo punya karte hain. Even to come to this point is great. It's a good start. So at least you are following Krishna's order now. You are in the realm of the Vedas. So this is the way in which the system ensures that the jiva, wherever they are situated, are always supported to elevate their consciousness and upgrade their journey. Right? Any clarity, any thoughts or questions on this? That how we are given opportunities to exist in different realms. But if we are undeserving or if we don't align to each of them, we will be downgraded each time. But still, there is a scope of reformation to gain our original constitutional position. So now this chapter especially talks of hellish planets. So Parikshit Maharaj is curious, how are these people being led there? What is causing them to be punished? And how are they punished? So Yamraj is judging them according to, how does Yamraj do his judgment and punishment? According to the rules of Krishna. So the rules of Krishna prevail everywhere, in Goloka, in Bhuloka, and in hellish planets, Narakloka. So which rules do we want to follow? If we follow the higher rules, we will be offered a much superior position and a better experience. Otherwise, we will have to go through a very difficult situation. It is also interesting to see that Yamraj is judging by the rules of Krishna. It is not that because they broke the rules, they have a different law to follow. No. If somebody did a mistake, they will be still judged according to the rules of the law. Why? Because Krishna knows what consciousness or what mentality led to them going astray. And how can that be rectified? That also Krishna knows. And therefore we need to follow the reformatory methods given by Krishna. Therefore the description of the various punishments in different hells. It is not imagined. It is not whimsical. Every punishment is specifically designed to reform that particular individual's consciousness, to get it back to understanding the futility of samsara. So, the design, even in the hellish planets, is perfect. It's a well-designed system and it's meant, it's functional. Every reformation, every punishment leads to upgradation of consciousness of the jiva. So one is you punish because you did something wrong, but it doesn't stop there. The purpose is to reform and re-establish ourselves in the proper situation. But sometimes, even after undergoing punishment and suffering at the hands of material nature or at the hands of Yamraj, still many people don't understand. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yadati siddhaye. Very few people will try to follow the path of yoga. And even amongst them, very few will understand how to perform this art of detached work. So it is very, very rare that people actually are able to understand the true meaning of dharma. So a very classic example is that of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, he chose to act against Krishna. Why? Because of the attachment. Attachment to his enjoyment and attachment to his son. So we might know everything. We might have the understanding. But mind and ego stops us from converting that into realization. That is the process of anartha nivritti. When knowledge turns into realization. And after that, nishtha comes. Only after nishtha, actually, nishtit bhajan is the true bhakti where it starts from. Before that, we are just undergoing purification. So it is also very important to understand why are we acting. So this is the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. First, we have to understand what is karma, what is vikarma, and what is akarma. Karma is basically to act according to Krishna's rules. That's what we have been seeing so far. We are governed by Krishna's rules, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not. If we follow Krishna's rules, if we act according to right karma, we will be elevated. Although that karmic elevation is material, still there is upgradation. But if you do vikarma, which is acting against the rules of Krishna, then you will be degraded. But the best is to do akarma, acting only for the pleasure of Krishna. So once we realize that It is a waste of time and wasted effort just going through the cycle of bhoga tyaga. Then we come to the level of jnana. But if somebody is fortunate enough to come in touch with a devotee, they will understand and start to perform a karma or bhakti. So why? How do we understand karma yoga in its truest essence? Let's revise our concepts of Bhagavad Gita. That why should we act at all? Right? Because actions, acting according to our desires, is leading us to these different planets. So what is, where should you correct? You should correct at the root. What is the root? Action. And the root of action is desires. If we study the Bhagavad Gita and it talks about the three doers, where are desires coming from? You know, when Lord explains the role of Jivatma, Prakriti and Paramatma, there it is very beautifully explained. Where are these desires coming from? Desires are coming from our likes and dislikes, vrittis. Where are these vrittis coming from? They are coming from our vasanas, our past impressions. Because you had a certain experience with a certain object in this world, therefore you have a like or dislike towards it. I might have a different experience and you would have a very different experience with the same object. Therefore, you might like it and I might dislike it. So it's all relative for each of us. It's individual. So desires are coming from likes and dislikes. Those are coming from vasanas. Where are vasanas coming from? They are just impressions. They are very subtle. So ultimately, we are acting by on the basis of our vasanas. But where are vasanas? What are vasanas and where are they stored? Yes, vasanas are stored in the mind. Now, is mind material or spiritual? Huh? Material. Mind is subtle, but it is still material. So if mind is matter and you are acting out of desires arising from matter, and you, the soul, are separate, why are you acting for something that is coming from a material source? Ah, that connection is ego. So when we start to see ourselves as Turiya, these desires, all of this algorithm, the script of vasanas and bhogatyag and Ichha Dvesh, they are all coming from my mind, which is just a carrier of previous impressions. It is nothing to do with me, the soul. I am helplessly being pushed. I am helplessly made to believe that these are mine and therefore I have to fulfill them. Think of the relief that you will experience once you realize ye vasana mera nahi hai. Ye ichha hai mera. These desires are not mine. They are my mind's. That is the power of understanding the three doers. So if it is not mine, what should the soul do? The soul should act for spiritual desires, which only a bhakta can truly do. Therefore, akarma can truly be practiced only by a devotee, not by a yogi or jnani. So, we understand this. Desires are coming from the mind. I am separate from the mind. I don't have to necessarily fulfill that because it will never end. I will waste this life and many other lives in just fulfilling the whimsical desires coming from previous impressions. Well, that is a script in itself. Let it play. Just distance yourself from it. Become an observer. This Sri Krishna gives the message in his Hamsa Avatara to the four Kumaras. But okay, let's talk about today. I have Ahankara and Asmita and Raga, Dvesha, Abhinivesha. So what should I do in conditioned state? So in conditioned state, we have to act. If we were liberated, then we didn't have to worry about acting at all. But because we are conditioned, we have to act. Now the question is how to act. That is the entire teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. Shri Krishna uses this beautiful technique of, like they say, using a thorn to remove a thorn. You are in this material world because of karma. Let's use karma to come out of this samsara. So it's a very radical technique. One does not act for the fruits of work. One acts only for two things: for purification and for knowledge. In the first six chapters, Lord gives us this technique of Nishkama Karma Yoga, or Akarma, or Yajna, or Varnashram Dharma, whatever you would like to see it as. The idea is do selfless service. I was just having this discussion with Vasudev Prabhu a few days earlier. We have our own personal plans and desires that this is for my benefit. But if we scrutinize it and reflect it through a mentor, we'll realize that, oh, it is actually my mind playing tricks with me. It is my ego who wants to act whimsically. Where does purification lie? Purification lies in commitment, in taking responsibility of doing selfless service. So it might not appear intuitive or logical. Why should I do selfless service? Why Nishkama Karma Yoga? Okay, I don't want to act for my benefit. I don't want to do bhoga. So let me not act only. It's very difficult to go from a place of selfish work as we become devotees and start to practice Niswarth Seva Bhav, to really do a seva where there is no personal gain. That takes a lot of purification. The gain might be subtle. It might come in terms of recognition or facility or just a channel to fulfill our need. If my nature is to accomplish big things, I might use service as a channel to do big things. It is good because you have connected it to Krishna, but are you acting according to your previous nature? Or are you ready to do anything else that is also required? So that change in service, that is that parameter to test our service attitude. Like Maharaj says, we should not be attached to the service, we should be attached to the service attitude. Because service might sometimes be according to our mental makeup and sometimes not. So therefore, when we do this tyaga, sacrifice leads through purification. And that is the way of gaining spiritual realization. This is not intellectual knowledge, which we can study and cram and quote. We have to gain these realizations by tapa and by sacrifice. Sacrifice in the sense of selfless service. So if we have to act, let me act in knowledge. That is the path of Buddhi Yoga given by Sri Krishna. What is Buddhi Yoga? Acting, action in knowledge. Karma with jnana. What jnana? Atma jnana. Acting with the knowledge of we being a spirit soul and not the body, not the mind. And once we act like this, performing Nishkama Karma Yoga with Atma jnana, that leads to purification of consciousness, of Antakarana. And the best is acting not just because the samsara is very troublesome, so I will do nishkam karma, because sakam karma I have tried and it has burnt my fingers. So I'll do nishkam because of the troubles of the material world. That is good in the beginning, but very soon we should not act out of the pains of the material world, but from the real position of a devotee, or let me do it for the pleasure of Krishna. That is the advantage a devotee has, which the privilege is not available to yogis and jnanis. For them, it's just detachment from the material world. But ultimately, do it for whom? Do it for what? They are not able to see that this material nature must also come from someone. But when we come in touch with a devotee, we are able to see that this material nature, this law of karma, this body, soul, cycle of birth and death are all coming from Krishna. That Krishna connection is the most important lesson for a devotee. Just like even in the study of creation, in the study of cosmology, ultimately the purpose is to understand it is coming from Krishna. That's why we study the prayers of the residents of Jambudvipa. how they are all expressing gratitude and making Krishna their ultimate object or their ultimate goal. So now, once we realize that I should do a karma, except for devotees, others cannot really come out of the material world. Why? See, they can temporarily be situated in Brahman for many lifetimes also. But because they don't have the complete knowledge. What is knowledge, as Srila Prabhupada defines? To understand matter, spirit, and the controller of both. So they have been able to understand matter and spirit to some extent, but they have not understood the controller of both. Their knowledge of Ishvara is incomplete. Then what happens? Patanti adho. Why do they fall down? Because they don't have understanding of Bhagwan and they offend Bhagwan. Anadrita. Disrespect. Yushmat charanangraya. They disrespect your lotus feet. They deny your existence. They eliminate your form. So all of that is an offense to the Absolute. And because they do it, they can never be fully liberated. And as Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Sagala Ashanta. Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Atha Eva Shanta. Even if somebody is not doing karma or vikarma, there is some purpose behind which, for which they are doing something. You know, there is a material purpose even behind pursuing Mukti and Siddhi. It's a material purpose. I want to gain perfection. I want to gain liberation. So it is still in the realm of material goals and material purpose. Therefore, the outcome or the result cannot be completely spiritual. So Krishna says that very few people are engaged in proper activities. And out of them, very few know how to do akarma in the way of bhakti. So those who are able to detach from this material world, they don't have to go to Yamraj because they are not doing papa, but they are still in the jurisdiction of Yamraj. They have not been able to cross over into the spiritual sky. Only a devotee of Krishna who surrenders to Krishna is able to go beyond the material realm. So we will see how in one last concept that we would like to touch, that how for a bhakta, karma, jnana and yoga are techniques to perform bhakti. All of this is bhakti if we have the right perspective. So somebody might feel, okay, you tell me not to be attached to the results, but then what motivation will I have to do seva? Shouldn't I do seva nicely to have great results for Krishna? Right? Do you have this question sometimes? So there are different levels of detachment. It depends on our level of purification. Some people are attached to the fruits of their work. I mean, they're doing it because they want to enjoy the fruits that come after the performance of work. One progressive level above this is people who are attached to work itself. They might not want to enjoy the fruits, but they want to act according to their nature. And above all, both of this is to act in a mode of devotion. So the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita explain how we should perform work. And we discussed that once we are performing karma yoga, basically karma kanda, and we are frustrated with that, then we go into either jnana or yoga. So jnana means being frustrated with putting effort to earn bhoga or pleasure, one gives up that pursuit and tries to understand Brahman. And yoga means to meditate on the Supreme, to finally come to the understanding of the Paramatma. So both of these are three paths available for us in the material realm to reconnect to Krishna. So Krishna is telling us that till the time we have not developed pure love for Krishna, We can use any of these methods to fully transcend the material realm and come to the level of really worshipping and serving Krishna. So Krishna says, okay, at this conditioned state, what do you know? If you study the process of creation and Bhagavatam, when it describes the human species, it says they are karma nishta. They somehow believe that work is worship. They are karma parayana. Prabhupada says, this is everything that you are getting is a result of your karma. Did you plan for the pains in your life? But they still come, the sufferings. So similarly, our karma will also bring us the joys. But we as humans are hardwired to believe that I will get pleasure only if I work. That is not true. So that is a conditioning. So we at our level only know how to work. So what does Sri Krishna says? No problem. You continue to work. Now you are working for sense gratification. But by adopting this process of yoga, you work in knowledge. In knowledge that you are the soul and that you have an other purpose. Many people want to discover their purpose in life. So the purpose is hinged upon identity. Unless we have the right identity, we cannot define our purpose. Because we identify as Indian, we are fighting for the Indian side and cheering for the Indian team. So people discuss purpose in isolation, but that is incomplete. Bhagavad Gita first teaches us to understand our identity, and from that purpose evolves. So we can be fully absorbed in material activities. Bhagavad Gita says, Nigraham kim karishyati? You cannot but act. You are forced to act according to your nature. But we should start working according to our nature, but in Atmagyan. That the fruits are not for me to enjoy. The fruits are given by Krishna and I offer it back to Krishna. So first is somebody, the best situation is that before beginning any endeavor, Om Tat Sat, this is for Krishna. Whatever fruits come will be offered to Krishna. Inferior, next level of that is after performing work, we offer our results. So that is the difference between pure devotion and mixed devotion. And in pure devotion, before beginning of work, we already offer our work and the results to Krishna. So, we are situated in bhakti, which looks like karma from outside. But with time, with purification, jnana becomes prominent. We will be going through the motions of the limbs of bhakti, but we will be able to see more clearly how the modes are functioning, how my mind is functioning, how Krishna is causing everything. So that aspect of jnana, awareness, will become predominant in our practice of bhakti. Modes will still work, but our focus, the focus of our desires will be different. We'll start offering the results to Krishna and focusing our desires towards Krishna. So the Lord is present in our heart. Lord as Paramatma is sanctioning each and every desire. Can you imagine how sensitive he is to go through verifying our every desire? He takes that much pain and spends that much time with each individual jiva. If we continue to work at that platform of performing detached work, we will become purified. Because we are working in that detached spirit, it will slowly lead us to the path of the platform of Brahma Bhuta. What will happen at the Brahma Bhuta platform? Na shochati, na kankshati. At that level, we will constantly, effortlessly be able to think about Krishna and chant Krishna's names. But for preaching, for living in this world, we have to set the right example. So Anuttama comes to the level of Madhyama and still performs work, even though they don't need to perform. They are doing it just to set the right example. So Sri Krishna is telling Arjun, if you leave the battlefield and go to the forest with your conditioned mind, what will you do there? Even going to a forest, you will fight. Why do you want to create a mess or unrest by fighting in the forest? Better fight in the battlefield and let it get a good result. So carrying our impure mind will not help us. Then we'll become a hypocrite. The main thing is to adopt purification. That is good for us and good for society. So a devotee uses all these systems for bhakti. And a non-devotee can use them for material desire also. A non-devotee can use karma to achieve temporary material gains. So Krishna's main point to Arjuna is, you have desires and you are going to act. Better you act for me. So first, the highest level we saw is understanding that I have no duty, I'll still act. That we are working, knowing that it is Krishna's work. I'm doing it for Krishna. And the results are for Krishna. The results are already offered in the beginning. For example, any seva that we do with a pure intent. Before we start the seva, we know that it is for the pleasure of Krishna. There is nothing in it for me. Idam Krishnaya, idam na mama. That's the idea of yajna. The next best state is, if not, then Krishna says, do your work, your abilities, use your abilities. But in the end, give your fruit to me. Like somebody giving charity by running a business. And even if you cannot do that, because it's not easy to part with the fruits of your work, because you think, I've worked so hard. And it's actually true that it's very difficult for people to part with their wealth. Or their praner, arthir, dhya, vacha. It's difficult to sacrifice. So what does Lord say? Even if you're not able to do that, it's okay. Just hear and associate with my devotees, where they are chanting my glories. By that, you will develop a desire to one day do it for me. So motivation for sense gratification gets cut when we are acting in Nishkama Karma Yoga. We do it for pleasing Krishna. So therefore, ultimately, the understanding is, if we want to save ourselves from the jurisdiction of Yamaraja, which people enter by doing papa, and we also want to go beyond the realm of karma, then we have to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. Let's directly follow the rules of loving and serving Krishna directly. Then we'll not even have to follow the law of karma. Forget about being judged and punished by Yamaraj. So therefore, how should our every action be? Like Maharaj so often says, Atha pumbi dujashreshta varanashram vibhagasa swanushtistasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshana. So every action, our nishkama karma yoga, our varanashram, should be meant for haritoshanam, for the pleasure of Krishna. And if we do it in a mood of sacrifice and in a mood of pleasing Krishna, very soon we will be able to connect with Krishna and reciprocate with Him directly, going beyond the law of karma. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai.